All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up? My dude.
Yes.
We were talking about news.
Yes.
And I was like, there was so little news, I just went to bed.
Right. Right.
It's funny because I went scavenging, as I do.
As you do.
Through the sites.
You are the podcast's chief researcher.
Yeah. I had my goggles on.
Right.
And, people don't know, when I do research, it's kind of like the Minority Report. I lay back in this chair and scream. It's like,
yeah.
Techno music plays.
Super cool looking.
Yeah. It takes my whole living room.
And when I do research, I'm sitting upright in front of a computer at work, typing in.
You've got a jack in the box. You're turning right. It. Just,
No, I'm at the newsstand. I get a newspaper. Flip to the entertainment section.
Well, the crazy thing was all the articles were like retrospectives or looking back. Like there was no.
Right.
Not even like the news that we don't even call news.
Nicole Kidman's top 20 movies.
Yeah. Basically. They're really. Like last week was sparse. This week was.
Well, Penn Cinema has some news.
Oh, boy.
We have a few topics on here that are, I believe, newsworthy.
People want to know.
Right. Well, here's the thing. So I was mentioning earlier, a guy on Facebook, on social media, and I'm not throwing shade at the guy because he was just speaking his mind.
Right.
He made.
How dare he?
Right.
We're coming for you.
Right. No. Nothing like that. But I want to run this by you and get your thoughts. So somebody posted a comment. Well, there was a newspaper article about the movie business. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine commented on the article saying, great article, great guy, referring to the author of the article. And then he said, I can't wait to see movies this fall at Penn Cinema and Zotropolis as part of the Red Rose Film Festival. Mm-hmm. Great. Somebody commented on that comment that something about, I wish there were still drive-ins. They want to go see a drive-in movie.
Of course.
Right. Because that's what everybody says.
Yeah.
Right. And do they, though?
They don't.
They don't. Okay. So before we get down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
The guy says in his comment about drive-ins and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, Penn Cinema, he goes, I don't consider the Penn Cinema drive-in a real drive-in, but they tried.
That's to which
I replied, thanks? Like with a question mark? Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. What more would have needed to be a drive-in? I said, you should have been halfway in the woods.
Right. So it'd be real creepy and scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it was just
the like only the only thing.
I've been to.
There were two things we didn't have. One is like a double negative. We didn't not have a relationship with what they call a hard top, a regular movie theater. So I think a lot of drive-ins view themselves as being special.
Okay.
You know, and the fact that our drive-in was associated with a regular multiplex sort of took the magic away for some people.
Mm.
And I think the other thing that we didn't have, which we talked about doing, but it wasn't worth it because nobody came to the drive-ins. The other thing we didn't have was a snack bar like out at the drive-in in the parking lot. Although we did build a playground, you know, and we invested in it.
The only thing that I really feel that seems different from what I know of drive-ins is you didn't do the big double features and it didn't go all night.
Right. And we did.
Okay.
We did right at the beginning when we first got into the drive-in business. And what we found was when I say vast majority, I mean almost every single vehicle was kids, or I'm sorry, families with little kids.
Yeah.
Like they were really popular with when we showed a kids movie. And then when the second, so we would do, and I'm making this up, this wasn't necessarily what we showed, but like if we had a Well, you couldn't start till the sun goes down.
Right.
That's the whole problem with the business model.
Yeah.
So the Minions show would be at, you know, 9 p.m., and then Godzilla would come on at 11 or 10:30 or 10:45. When the Minions show was over, everybody left. There'd be like literally one or two vehicles in the lot for the second half of the double feature.
Yeah. See, the only thing that, well, I said that before, but I have a family, a friend group of a family of like six kids and parents.
Yeah.
And they have always been big about drive-ins, going to the one that's close by or whatever.
Yeah,
it's not even that close. But their whole thing was that it was a double feature, but it was two screens with two different double features. So some of the kids, younger kids would watch double feature over here, and then the older kids could watch the more adult double feature.
That's over somebody here. Who has a lot of land. Yeah.
But that's always sounded chaotic to me.
Right.
And I always hated it because they didn't start till 10 o'clock.
Right.
And then, you know, the second movie, it's like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And so, but nobody comes out.
Well, that's the point I wanted to announce. I was going to tease you and ask you if you were excited to come see Dune on the drive-in this summer, and then I was going to say, too bad.
No.
Because we are officially announcing, right here on the show, making news.
This one here.
This one here, right now, as we speak.
Yeah.
The Penn Cinema drive-in is but a faint memory.
At all locations.
At all, I believe all locations, yes.
Wow.
Yes, it is. And that's really funny. I forgot that we had a second one. You were like, all locations, and I was like, oh, wait, I don't know.
Is that screen still there?
That screen, the second location down in Huntington Valley, was so, like, wonderful. And I don't know. I forget what we said we were going to do down there, but the challenge we run into in Huntington Valley is the neighbors.
Oh.
No, not it. The neighbors didn't complain. The township anticipated that the neighbors would complain.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it's not even like, oh, well, we're getting complaints. It's that, oh, we might get complaints. So therefore, you know, you can't have your first and you have to have your last before, you know, and it was like annoying.
You should have cut the difference, and you know the screen at Huntington?
Yeah.
In the front? You should have just shown it on that.
Right.
Anyone sitting in the parking lot.
Right. Or show them, like, in the daytime.
Right.
Like, when nobody could see the screen.
Perfect.
So drive-ins are a lot like art movies.
Mm.
You've heard me say this before, and longtime listeners with killer memory, because I haven't said it in a long time, but we've had this conversation before where I put drive-ins with art movies, and I put art movies in a category where if everybody who said they love art movies came to see art movies, then art movies would make more money and be more popular. But everybody loves the idea of like an artsy-fartsy, you know, high-end concept film.
Yeah.
But nobody, or I should say very few people, come out and watch them.
Yeah. We could just talk to Zill about that. I mean,
yeah,
that's their thing.
That's their thing.
And I know that they... Sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And they, yeah. I will say, for people who think that I'm just like guessing this, like in years past, Penn Cinema has heavily leaned into the art scene and booked like all the best movies. And we had, at one point, we had a film that ended up winning the Oscar for Best Documentary. We had Best Foreign Language Film. We had all kinds of pinkies out movies. And every single one, without exception, was at the bottom of our barrel.
Wow.
Nobody came to see them.
Crazy.
Anyway, I think you hit the nail on the head when I told you that we were getting rid of the drive-in. The drive-in screen, this is not something we're considering.
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. The drive-in screen in Lititz is officially off the building. The side of the building looks the way it used to. And honestly, there was a part of me that was like relieved, like, okay, good. We're back to being a movie theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when I told you that we were done with the drive-in, you said, I think the drive-in was a product of its time.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I think you hit the nail on the head from the summer of 2020 until now, like it, really those first couple of years, it was a godsend and it was,
I mean, the drive-in at Penn Cinema, not drive-ins in general.
Oh, right,
I mean,
right.
They
right.
are a product of their time, too, but this one.
Absolutely. But your comment was with regards to this one, and it was, I have some great memories. I mean, we all have some pretty wild memories. Remember we had the blow-up screen, and me and Drew and Joel and Bob and the whole gang, you know, used to be out there literally. I was at dinner one time, and got a phone call, and I forget what manager it was, but they were like, the screen is folding over, you know, and I like jumped in my car, hightailed it to the theater. And, you know, there were six of us pulling on the strings and, you know, the ropes, and it was like insane, but also like a great adventure.
Yeah.
You know, so I have nothing but fond memories of it, but yeah, the drive-in is now a memory.
Wow.
The drive-in in Lititz, Pennsylvania is now a memory.
Well, what else you got? What other Penn Cinema news?
What other Penn Cinema news?
Got a bunch of list stuff
well,
here.
I mean, this isn't specific to Penn Cinema, but Lord of the Rings trilogy is returning to theaters in June. It is confirmed to be the extended versions
and
has been remastered.
Oh.
This is June 8th, 9th, and 10th. So Lord of the Rings 1 is on the 8th, 2 is on the 9th, and 3 is at 7 p.m. on that Monday,
That's
the 10th.
That's a commitment.
Now, what's interesting to me is right now, Fathom has only allowed one showtime of each title.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if we get permission, we will be adding because the tickets are going.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they're selling like cranking.
That's awesome.
Speaking of selling like cranking.
Well.
I can't speak for the industry, but in Lititz, I think episode one is going to outgross the Fall Guy.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy cool.
It is crazy cool. I mean, I feel I have completely mixed emotion. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Fall Guy is going to be a flop. I'm saying they're both like selling like gangbusters. But episode one is selling more.
You know, episode one is the only one of the prequels I didn't see on opening night.
Oh, shit.
Because I was young.
Yeah, you were just a pup.
A pup, eighth grade. And the next day, we had a class trip to New York.
Yeah.
And I remember my friends and I were like, well, we got to leave early. Really, we had to leave really early at school the next morning. And we were like, well, we were eighth grade. We were we probably could have asked, but we were like, we'll just see it.
Yeah.
And I remember we were so excited because whatever day it was, I think the next day we were all going to go.
Yeah.
And I remember this one girl got on the bus. She's like, you guys haven't seen Star Wars yet?
Oh, my God.
Everywhere in New York was just Star Wars.
Of course.
Like, we were so excited to go, and like F.E.O. Schwartz is still around.
Yeah, yeah.
To go in F.E.O. Schwartz and look at because they had just, that week had just revealed the toys.
Oh, my God.
And it was perfect age for that. But we were, all of us regretted. We were like, oh, I hadn't seen.
Yeah. So episode one, for those of you tracking, opens on May 3rd. There's no Thursday night shows.
Okay.
I don't know what's behind that, but Disney was like, no shows before Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to Lord of the Rings, this reminds us, have we talked on this show about the anime Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohirrim, which tells the story of Helm Hammerhand, King of Rohan, who ruled 250 years prior to the events of the original trilogy. This new film opens in the same universe as Jackson's trilogy, although it's anime in the same universe.
I hadn't heard about this.
With Mirando Otto returning to voice Ewan. How do you say that?
Eowyn.
Eowyn. And then the new trilogy, or the new War of Rome, opens on December 13th. Are you up to speed on that? Do we need... We need somebody to write in and tell us.
The War of Rohirrim is from Silmarillion, I'm pretty sure.
Did I get bad?
I don't know anything about this. Is this actually being released in theaters?
Yes. Yeah, hits theaters December 13th. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
I mean, it said the story that I read, I cut and pasted. Warner Brothers' upcoming anime film, Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohirrim, which tells the story of blah, blah, blah. Etc.
I mean, it could be cool.
It opens on December 13th. Speaking of December 13th, this is the one I wanted to get your comment on.
Okay.
Kraven the Hunter got moved to 12/13, December 13th, while Karate Kid got moved off of 12/13 and got pushed to May of 25. Kraven the Hunter is rated R, as we already knew. Director J.C. Chandor says, with a straight face, I presume, that Kraven the Hunter is going to be awesome.
I bet it is.
Venom was a swing and a miss. Madam Web, swing and a miss. But this Kraven Hunter.
But this is the one.
This is the one.
This is the one.
Trust me.
Yeah.
No, this time I'm serious.
You thought this before?
Right.
No, now.
No, now.
This is the one.
This one?
Yeah.
Madam Web?
No.
No.
You thought you needed Spider-Man before? We're going to prove again that you don't need him. Right. Don't worry. Oh, this looks horrible.
Oh, my God. I'm not saying that it looks horrible, but God. They have an uphill climb.
Do you remember the trailer?
Yeah.
It was bad.
I know.
It was so bad.
I know, David. But I know. I'm trying to find something nice to say.
There isn't. All right. Aaron Sorkin, he wrote the award-winning
West Wing
Social Network movie. He's working on a sequel.
Oh.
A spiritual sequel that will represent what Facebook has become.
Spiritual.
That's what they're saying. So I don't know if it's going to be as, because the Social Network was based on quote unquote facts. But I don't know how. I don't know what the story is for the guy just continuing to run a business. You know what I mean?
I think this would be a good time for us to make our big announcement.
What?
Is this the time? It is Sunday. And
well,
it is a good point. It is Sunday morning.
Well, it's not Sunday afternoon, right. So it's that much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I'll go ahead and make the big announcement revealing the new companion podcast.
Yeah.
You know, the spiritual Penn Cinema podcast. The Penn Cinema spiritual podcast.
Right. A lot of
chanting.
Yeah.
You know, and this is going to be great because as you alluded to, facts don't matter.
No.
We're just going to say whatever we feel like saying.
Right. Right. You've got the hair to be a guru.
Right.
Can I call Guru Penn?
Right. Yes. I'll add you to the list of people who refer to me
as Guru Penn. Right. There's a list.
Right. Poor bastards.
All right. Yeah, last little bit.
Speaking of David.
Me?
I wanted to let you and all the Dune 2 fans
nice.
Know that we are down to the final week. This is the last week.
Wow.
Of Dune Part 2. And just to give you like some dates, the final show of Dune Part 2 is Thursday, May 9th at 8 p.m. Now listen, as a sign of respect for you, David Moulton,
me.
And all the Dune 2 fans, when a movie comes to the end of its run, so this will be Dune's 10th week. When a movie comes to end of its run, it quietly disappears out of the building, usually through Theater 11, you know, maybe Theater 9. You know, a movie like Dune should disappear with a matinee, right? Now, on Thursday, May 9th, it does have a matinee. Actually, that whole week of May 3rd, it's just matinees. I think Friday night there's a late show. But anyway, I made sure for all the fans... that on the very last day, Thursday, May 9th, there is a special show at 8 p.m. and I put it in a good big theater, Theater 6, so that everybody can enjoy, you know, a proper theatrical, you know, full-blown, it's the best way to see it.
You sound like Gabe.
What's that?
As they prophesied.
Wait, is that a Dune joke?
Yeah, it is.
David hit me with the Dune joke and it went
right over the head.
Right by me.
It's become a big meme.
It didn't even go over my head. It went right by me.
You haven't seen the meme?
No.
You know, well, in the movie, Stilgar's constantly like, Lassana Gaib, every time Paul does something.
Okay.
And then there's the meme is people on TikTok will do something like open a bottle.
Right.
Lassana Gaib.
I'm out of the loop on that one. I'm out of the loop. Well, David. That brings us to the conclusion on this light news day.
Yeah, that's all the news fit to print. Whoa.
Yeah.
Pointing back at the joke.
I went backwards. I rolled and then went backwards. I was referring to the joke that went by me.
Yeah.
And the drive-in that's now
gone.
In the rearview.
You know what I love about this show? And it's not just two-dimensional. You added the third dimension.
Absolutely.
There. The scope
Absolutely.
Of depth was...
We need to add a fourth dimension.
Whoa.
What would that be?
The spiritual.
We got that covered. Yeah.
The fourth dimension is covered.
All right. This week, we went the other route. A lot of times we try to give you, dear listener.
Yeah.
That's the fourth wall, not the fourth dimension.
Right.
We try to give you, dear listeners, a plethora.
Yeah.
Of trailers.
One might say... Healthy abundance.
An abundance. One might say a full load.
Yeah. Trailers ahoy. ladies and gentlemen.
What else might one say?
Shut up. What's this podcast you're listening to?
I don't think so. All right. So this week, we decided, earlier this week, we had a staff meeting, and that kid in the back that never says anything finally raised his hand and was like, hey, what if we only did two trailers?
Yeah.
And then you had to choose between them.
Which one was the trailer of the week?
Right, for the trailer week. Because normally we have like 18 trailers, and usually like at least half of them stink.
Yeah. I have a feeling that you and I are going to get pulled in two different directions here.
I'm going to just set the table. We only have two trailers.
Yeah.
Will you agree with me on this? They're both good.
Yes.
Okay, they're both good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think one of them is great. And I think the other one looks like fun. And my trailer of the week is going to be the great one.
Okay.
How would you, Sir David?
I could say the exact same thing and feel...
But pick the opposite?
But it might be.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Trailer number one is called Blink Twice with Channing Tatum, directed by Zoe Kravitz. This is my trailer of the week.
This is my trailer of the week, okay, as well. This movie, it could take a wrong turn and be a formulaic, like, cookie cutter horror movie.
Yeah.
But it just looks so good, and I think it's creative. I think there is another level of weirdness to it. I think this looks like a wild ride.
Channing Tatum is a superstar, and he invites these two girls to go on a island trip with him and his
A whole gang.
Right, yeah.
But the two main characters are these two girls.
Right. And then while they're there, they start noticing things are off, but nobody can put a... Like, they start forgetting things.
Right.
And to what point... I don't know how extreme it gets, but in the trailer, the one girl disappears, and then they like everyone's like, what do you mean? What girl? Like, no one remembers her.
Right.
And her room's like storage. Mm-hmm. And so it looks... Like, it could be intense.
A psychological thriller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beginning of it reminded me a lot of Glass Onion.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't a murder mystery. It was more of a horror thing. So.
Right. I love the... And also, since we often comment on how the movie looks and also how the trailer looks.
Yeah.
I also thought this trailer was really well done. I love the beginning, Channing Tatum staring at the camera, and he goes, so...
Everyone's dead.
Everyone's dead. Right. And then it backs up, and like then the rest runs like a normal trailer. But I just thought that was such a great creative, and like it grabbed me. You know what I mean? Like I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next trailer we have is called Summer Camp, which I think this is a fun idea, and it could be funny.
Right.
Looks like
this movie's going to open in Theater 10,
okay,
because it might get some buzz on opening weekend, and then it will play in Lititz forever in Theater 1.
It has, like, just enough people to...
It has the matinee crowd. This will do matinee business on Senior Wednesdays and Ticket Tuesdays. It'll go back to Theater 10. Opening week, it might even go to Theater 5 for Senior Wednesday. Like, the older crowd is going to eat this up.
It's a lot of your... Golden Stars.
Diane Keaton, Kathy Bates, Eugene Levy.
Who I would swear Eugene Levy has been playing at this age his entire life. Which is crazy.
Right.
But one of the things I do like is that usually he plays like the stern dad or like the bumbling idiot. I like that he's supposed to be the suave romantic guy. And I kind of like him in that role.
Right.
I'm like, all right.
There's a scene in the trailer which just had me doubled over where Diane Keaton is doing something apparently that she like quasi embarrassing in this like computer lab. And she has like a little temper tantrum and then she stands up and throws her keyboard on the ground.
Yeah.
When she stands up, she sees that Eugene Levy is just sitting right there.
Yeah.
And she says something like,
where'd you come from?
Where'd you come from? Where'd you come from? And he just delivers in perfect comedy, perfect comic, you know, whatever, timing or candor. He goes, I'm originally from Baltimore, but I've been here for about a half an hour. Just so good. Like, this looks like a fun, easy, probably has heart, you know.
It's one of those movies that I can respect and never see.
I'm going to respect and see.
Okay.
This is, you know who's going to love this movie?
Who's that?
My beautiful wife, Amy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. This is her kind of movie.
Kayla too, probably, right?
Kayla will like this movie. Probably Marley will enjoy it. Not that Marley's limited to movies like this. Kayla's not limited either, but I think everybody, and that's exactly my point. Like, I think this movie's going to do business,
right?
You know, because it looks fun, and like sometimes that's all you're looking for, like a fun, easy movie. What's wrong with that?
I bet my mom would like it too.
Yeah, Shady Lady, come on.
Yeah. Well, those are all the trailers.
Boom. Trailer of the week is called Blink Twice, starring Channing Tatum. We also liked Summer Camp, starring Diane Keaton, both of which are obviously coming out this summer.
Yeah. Let's move on to our movie review this week.
Yes.
We watched The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, based on a true story, which I did not pick up on.
Oh,
before,
I did.
Beforehand. I mean, I did watching the movie because they say it.
No, I picked up. I knew ahead of time.
I didn't know ahead of time.
I thought that was what was really interesting because it reminded me of, didn't Tarantino do Inglourious Basterds?
He did.
And isn't that also based on a true some kind of true story from World War II.
For that.
I think that it's loosely based on a true story. And this reminded me of that because it's Guy Ritchie, who has a very distinct style.
Yes.
But taking a true story and telling it in his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting. I would have retitled this. I would have called it The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the James Bond origin story.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this movie.
Me too.
It was just like, first off, I didn't know it was based on a true story. Secondly, I like that being a true story, it was one that's very recently discovered.
Right.
Which means it's not like been overplayed a million times. The stakes were high, but not like over the top high. They were just had to sink a boat. That's in a harbor and you know, other things happen. The acting was, it was just over the top to make it fun. You know, they're smiling and just like walking and
witty.
Shooting. Yeah. And it's witty and everything. And you love to see everybody do their thing, but it's not so over the top. It's ridiculous or unfathomable. But, at the same time, it's like grounded, but not like overly bored down with, well, we got to pass this paper over here and, you know, like Priscilla was like, and the origins, the supposed alluded to origin of James Bond, part of it was also really cool.
Which was what?
Well, Ian Fleming was a real person.
No. I don't know if he's still alive. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. Ian Fleming was a real person who wrote James Bond, who was a military man.
Some kind of senior military officer.
Yeah. And he was involved in this mission, and supposedly the main guy of this mission is who they think Bond was based off of.
Yeah. When they introduce, in one of the early parts of the movie, when they introduced Ian Fleming, he introduced himself as Fleming, Ian Fleming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was like a nice little nod to the James Bond.
And the guy above him was called M.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. Which he was played by Cary Elwes.
Okay.
And I want to side
tangent. Sidebar.
We've been talking about the new Naked Gun movie.
Yes.
Starring Liam Neeson.
Neeson.
Which is, okay.
But
my question is, how come it's not doesn't start Cary Elwes? Because at the time, when those movies were out, we had the king of absurd comedy. Leslie Nielsen,
yeah,
right, who did the dry, witty, and he was that was his shtick, right? But the prince of that style of comedy was Cary Elwes, and now Cary Elwes is older.
Mm-hmm.
He could play the role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not get him back to what made him? What I mean, he's great, but
you're overlooking the most obvious answer.
What?
His initials are totally different than Leslie Nielsen's.
It's not close enough.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Hire a guy with different initials?
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to have to redo the whole bathrobes and the slippers and the pillowcases.
They're using the same set.
Right, the cufflinks.
Yeah.
My God, David, come on.
You're right.
It's right before. If it was a snake, it would have bit you.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Back to Warfare.
Warfare.
My favorite Well, I loved everything about this movie. Mm-hmm. But when I knew that I was loving it was when he gets briefed and he steals all the cigars and he's like stealing the lighter.
He takes the jacket.
And then he takes the jacket and all this kind of stuff. And then he walks out and like breathes a fresh air and then he offers a cigar to the guard. And you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, this is like an everyman. He's like a Robin Hood. He's going to steal the fancy guy's cigars and share them with the enlisted men.
Yeah.
That's what you immediately think. And you think, like, oh, this is a lovable guy. This is a good, kind-hearted guy. And so he offers a cigar, one of these fancy cigars that he stole from the senior military executives, officers. And the guard is, like, hesitant, but then decides to reach out for it. And when he reaches out for it, he's like, psych. Yeah,
he walks away.
And he walks away. And I was like, oh, my God. All right. I'm on fully invested in this guy.
I think I was enjoying it the whole time. But one of the true defining moments of, like, oh, I love this movie is when they go to the base to get the guy who's kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Rickman's comes out with the bow.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, so we're going to sneak in. We're going to go this way. And then Alan Rickman just walks off. He says, or you could just walk off on your own with a bow and arrow.
Right. Yeah. No, that was good. I don't know. I will say, like, so the movie was fun and it was interesting and the action was great. One of the things that takes this movie to the next level for me is that the scene where it was all coming together on the night of the, you know, the last, when it was all coming together and the camera would follow these guys and then it would follow the girl because she had her own mission with the bad guy, you know, and then it would follow this other guy. When, like, that sequence, I want to say, like, the last half hour of the movie minus the 10 minutes after, you know, all the end stuff, that was incredibly stressful. I was literally, like, wringing my hands and, like, uncomfortable in my seat, yeah. You know, like, gripped, you know, to this movie. Like, literally on the edge of my seat, like, what is going on?
Because I didn't know the story. You didn't know the story.
Yeah. I don't think anybody knows the story until you see the movie.
Yeah, well, or read the book, I guess.
I guess. Who's going to read a book?
Us. Well, not you.
Maybe I will. That movie was so good that I might go read the book.
Wow.
As soon as I finish Dune.
So never. I got to say, one of the upcoming stars in this, Babs Awokasan, like, he's...
Which character was he?
He's the casino owner.
Okay, yeah, he was great.
He's in Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of things lately.
Yeah.
He was in Dune. He's fantastic. He's just one of these guys who has this very distinct voice.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I love seeing him in more things.
I also loved the Prince of the Harbor guy.
Yeah.
I thought his character could have been, and I'm glad it wasn't, because it would have, the guy is so famous that it would have taken you out of the movie. But that character could have been nailed by Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like, his demeanor and his tone and everything. Like, Jeffrey Wright would have crushed that role. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, the role is, first of all, way too small for Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
And second of all, like I said, if all of a sudden you meet this guy and it's Jeffrey Wright, it would have taken you out of the movie because he doesn't enter the movie until late in the movie.
Right.
And you would have been like, oh, my God, it's Jeffrey Wright. You know what I mean? And then you're out of the movie. I thought he was really terrific.
It was great. This movie was great. Best movie I've ever seen.
Best movie I've ever seen. Yeah. I don't even know why, David, why we wasted all that energy last week on the dumb old rating system.
Oh, I wonder why.
Because this was just the best movie
I've ever seen. So go see it. Because apparently not a lot of people are...
No, it's not having a great commercial success, but here's what I predict. It's going to continue to play clean. I've already worked on the next week's schedule. It's going to be in Theater One. And I think that this movie will have legs. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever going to... it's not going to be, you know, suddenly, you know, a huge commercial box office smash. But... it's going to do business, and I think it's going to continue. I think it's going to be a strong weekday title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one last thing I wanted to say. I meant to say it a minute ago. This was my favorite role I've ever seen Henry Cavill in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought he was really great. And
he's superb.
And I think that the mustache and the beard and everything like helped me lose him in the character. He was great.
We're used to him being the biggest, buffest guy on screen.
Right.
And Alan Rickman, I might be saying the wrong last name, but he's just huge.
Did I tell you I met Henry Cavill when I was out in Vegas a few weeks ago?
Did he talk to you?
He did. I didn't get a picture with him.
Okay.
But I did snap a picture as he approached me.
Whoa.
And then when he approached me, I stuck out my hand, and he stuck out his hand and shook my hand.
Yours.
And I said, thanks a lot for coming, because we were at a theater owner's convention. So, that's my standard line when I meet a celebrity. And I said, thanks a lot for coming. We're happy to have you here. And he said, oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to be here. And he all of that I just described to you, the handshake, my comment, and his comment, he never broke stride. You know what I mean? He was coming at me.
He's going.
We had all this action, a handshake, two comments, and he stopped walking. But I will give him credit because he was polite enough to make eye contact and shake my hand.
You think in the middle of the night he turned over and he's like, what's that guy?
Yes. I think he went home and he was like, hey, honey, I met the guy from the Penn Cinema podcast. Yeah. And she goes, what, David Moulton was in Vegas?
That's exactly what happened.
All right. So kudos to Henry and the gang and Guy Ritchie, whose track record remains solid.
Did you watch The Gentleman yet?
Yes. Gentleman in Moscow?
Yes. No.
Oh, yes, the show. I did. I forgot. Yeah, I guess I never reported on it, but I did watch it. And then all of a sudden it stopped, right? Or we're waiting for a new season? Because I got to the end of it.
Yeah. Okay.
I loved it and I kept watching it, but I will say I didn't think it was his finest work.
No, but it was good for a TV show.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right, I got a double feature here for you.
Oh, hit me.
I also saw Boy Meets World.
Wow. No, you
Boy
and...
Boy Kills World.
You, yourself, and you.
They said that the theater was going to be really tiny. It was going to be really empty. But there was 10 of us in there. Granted, two of them were kids who probably should not have been in there. I mean, the parent brought them. But they walked in and we were like, well, this isn't going to be content appropriate for those children. But that's parents' choice.
In our 15-plex this weekend, mm-hmm. we played 22 different titles. That includes, obviously, special features. This week's show of Spider-Man, or last Monday's Spider-Man was included in that, some one-offs, some special events. But we have played 22 different titles. I never thought Boy Kills World would be among the top. We added it late. We added it at the last minute.
Yeah.
Put it in our smallest theater. Boy Kills World was 22 out of 22 titles.
Perfect.
Our single show times of Spider-Man at $5 a head dramatically outgrossed Boy Kills World. Just for the record.
You know what? It's crazy because this movie's great.
All right. Tell me. Give us the review.
I love this movie. Best movie of all time. It was two really great movies that fit their genre perfectly this weekend.
Is Boy Kills World, tell us about that. Is that a horror movie? Is it a zombie movie? I don't even really know what it is.
No, it's like Deadpool.
Deadpool.
It's a comedy, over-the-top comedy action.
Okay.
And it's funny. It's really funny.
Maybe I'll go see it.
So the premise is it's some dystopian utilitarian world where every year the leader kills their enemies. Just pulls them out of the crowd and like Hunger Games just kills them. And this guy's mom and daughter and him were pulled up and the mother and daughter were killed. And for whatever reason, he was cast out. His tongue was cut out and his ears were burned.
Mm.
So he's mutant deaf. And then he was put into this woods and the shaman found him. And the shaman hates the ruler.
Sure.
And of course the shaman's
nobody likes a ruler.
Right. The shaman's some sort of mega assassin, so trains him from childhood his whole life to be this killer.
Mm.
But it's so he's this buffed up super soldier guy, but his internal monologue is why can't I think of his name? The guy who does Bob's Burgers and Archer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not him. It doesn't sound anything like it because one of the things he remembers is the is this voiceover for a video game he played as a kid, and that's the voice his internal monologue is. And he reads lips.
Mm.
And so basically he just goes on a killing rampage to kill the head of this city. And the fights are over the top. They're funny. You'll never look at a cheese grater the same way.
Oh boy.
Because he just grabs whatever and he just like, yeah. slicing people up with a cheese like a regular handheld cheese grater. And yeah. But the voice in the background is hilarious. And he reads lips. So you see the movie through what he is doing. He comes across a guy and he can't read his lips. So the guy's always saying like gibberish and it never makes it. He's like, well, that can't be right. Or and they're sitting going over. Yeah, they're going over the plan. And the guy he can't understand is just saying nonsense and pointing to the board. And the other guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, man, I don't understand this. This is like the whole plan. Just nod your head and look confident. So it's funny. It's really funny. And I would say, like, a lot of times these action movies, you know, they get to the bad guy and they kill the bad guy and it's like, whatever, it's yeah. over. But the boss fight at the end of this journey was very satisfying, very cool. It's over the top and it's super bloody and everything, but it's funny and it's a good time. So I recommend if you like Deadpool, you'll like this.
Which I do.
Yeah.
Along with everybody else in the world.
Right. So
hey.
Yeah.
Look at you sneaking in a double feature for free.
I know. Who would have known? Who would have known? We're not even gonna charge. We're not charging anybody for that.
No, yeah. It's the same regular price.
Yeah. All right. You ready to get into listener feedback, comments, questions, and
please.
So forth?
This week we had a multi-note.
Yeah, from what we had one person write in.
We had one note with a couple of different topics. Yeah. I'll tackle it at first.
Please.
This is from everyone's favorite sister. Oh, you know what we should do in the future? We should start reading notes and try to guess who they're from.
Not telling anyone.
Right.
Someone wrote in.
Right. Somebody wrote in. And then that could be like the challenge.
Yeah. So you're really going to kick out of that.
That's going to be fun.
Okay.
We're going to do that. Everyone's favorite sister wrote in and said, don't come looking to reboot Con Air.
Hold up.
What?
Don't.
Do you stand by that? Last week, you and I said it would be okay to reboot Con Air. I stand by my position.
I think it'd be okay.
Yeah, she disagrees, apparently, with vigor.
Yeah.
It's at the top of my list of movies I can watch anytime. Sometimes a movie, however ridiculous, works because the cast totally understands why the movie is. Con Air is that cast. I mean, Steve Buscemi singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands while the plane is going down. Come on, that's trashy action movie brilliance. You're never going to recreate this cast. Don't even try. So, see, rebooting Con Air is a trap. Looks like easy money, but doomed for fail.
Here's the thing. You just recast Steve Buscemi to play the same character.
Right.
It's fine.
Oh, my God. That's a really interesting point. What has anybody ever rebooted a franchise? Not even a franchise, but a movie. Like, has anybody ever rebooted the movie
with all the same
with
cast?
The exact same cast?
That's it. That would be interesting.
Or riddle me this: reboot the movie with the exact same cast, but everybody plays different roles.
That would be amazing.
That's a great idea.
I love that idea.
That is a great idea, especially for a movie like Con Air, because I could see Mr. Cage doing Buscemi's, you know, character.
I mean, we are in a Rick Cage-a-sense.
We are, as you like to say. Now, the other thing I wanted to draw your attention to, I'm going to continue reading the note, but, you know, like a good reader, I like to draw my students' attention to a segue.
Guru Pen.
This segue that she laid out for us is just gold. Mm. Last week, I'm just going to remind you, last week we watched a trailer for a movie called Trap.
Yes.
And then we had great discussion about what was the twist going to be. It's an M. Night movie, so we know there's going to be a twist and, you know, there's going to be plot. And, you know, we debated whether or not we liked it and, you know, all this kind of stuff. All right. So let me go back to her first point. It's a trashy action movie. Brilliance. You're never going to recreate this cast, so don't even try. She continues to write. She says, so see, rebooting Con Air is a trap. looks like easy money, but doomed to fail. Speaking of Trap, here's what I think will be the twist for Trap.
What?
She goes on to say, the dad is really the butcher. The twist is he has to kill because his daughter somehow feeds off of people. This fits into the M. Night universe. She's a werewolf-type creature, and he kills to prevent her from hunting or something like that. However it works, he's killing to save the daughter.
Whoa. Whoa. Misdirection at the max.
I think she's onto something, and huge props for, I mean, it's, I've said this before about like great comedians.
Yeah.
They say something funny, and the reason why it's so funny is because you can relate to it and it's so obvious.
Yeah.
But you've never thought to say it yourself. Like they point it out to you and you're like, oh my God, that's so true. And it's so obvious, but you never thought about it and it never made you laugh until Chris Rock said it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And as soon as I read this email from everyone's favorite sister, I was like, oh my God, of course, that makes complete sense. So kudos to her for actually thinking of it. And if it's okay with her, I'm, as the movie gets closer, I'm going to peddle this as my,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
this is
sense.
guys, this is what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. I didn't hear from anyone else.
No, right. Definitely didn't hear it on the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah. She also goes on to say she's a huge Wizard of Oz fan. She even wore ruby slippers to her wedding.
That's amazing.
That's crazy. And she says, I liked hearing another Oz fanatic's take on the Wicked trailer. As a Monsters fan of the movie, and the books not so much, here's my take on Wicked. She says she loves the musical. She's seen it 6 times, twice on Broadway.
Mm.
She says, I especially love the theme that people in power dictate how we see the world, and the real story is very different. I'm crazy nervous about the movie because so often movies of musicals fall flat. Looking at you, Les Miserables.
Oh, I loved Les Mis.
For me, the musical shows a completely different side of Oz, very much like the theme of the show. The Wizard of Oz is the version of Oz L. Frank Baum wanted to see. The musical shows what really happened. One small correction for David.
What?
The Wicked Witch's name is pronounced Elphaba.
Elphaba.
Elphaba. You had the emphasis,
the emphasis
on the wrong syllable. So fun fact.
This is fun what, David?
Fun fact.
Okay.
The name Elphaba. Elphaba.
Elphaba.
Is a mashup of the name L. Frank Baum.
Did we fact check that?
No, but Frodo will.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love everything about that. That last paragraph about Wizard of Oz is really interesting. I mean, it's fascinating how such a, I mean, tell me there's a more iconic movie in the world. It's not my favorite movie or whatever, but you know, like you're going to name the top 10 movies in cinematic history starting in the 1850s.
Right.
You're going to name Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, right. So much.
Right. Okay. So
color, everything.
Right. And then also just in general, one of the great stories of all time.
Yes.
You're going to name The Wizard of Oz. And so it's really interesting as Wicked becomes more and more, I don't want to say mainstream because it's almost sounds insulting, but as more and more people are aware of it and it shows us more and more the depth of the story of The Wizard of Oz. And the different facets and the different angles. And I mean, it's just, it shows you how rich that source material is.
Right.
And, you know, kudos to Frodo and everyone's favorite sister and everyone who has written in and helped, you know, teach us. I feel like by the time Wicked comes, we're going to have a podcast viewing party because this is going to be
nice.
This is going to be perfect for us.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I did not know how to pronounce Elphaba and I did not know how to pronounce Focht. So, you know, I'm learning. This is an educational show right here.
Learn your fox.
Yeah, get your fox straight.
Ben, what have you been doing? What have you been dreaming? What have you been experiencing outside of the theater?
Oh, this is the first time you've asked me about what I've been dreaming.
Yeah, well.
Do you remember things in your dreams? Amy and I had this conversation the other day. I have never in my dream, we were watching A Gentleman in Moscow. and the guy sleeps, and while he's sleeping, whoever put the show together uses that as an opportunity to show us flashbacks, and it's supposed to be his memories while he's sleeping.
Yeah.
And I said to Amy, I have never dreamt a memory. Do you dream memories?
I have deja vu in my dreams.
Deja vu is a whole different thing.
So I don't know if I'm, yeah. I can't remember if I'm dreaming actual memories or just feeling like it's something I've done.
You know, when I worked in the county prison, the guys there had a theory that we were all operating as part of my dream, because I came to work late one time and I was like making a joke about how I was still dreaming. And they were all like, we're in your dream. This is your dream.
And you never woke up.
And I have never woken up since.
Wow.
Fascinating. Amy and I are enjoying. Amy, by the way, says that she has dreams that are memories on the regular.
Interesting.
Yeah. We are enjoying, as I alluded to, is it Ewan McGregor in Gentleman in Moscow? I am enjoying Colin Farrell in Sugar, which I think is amazing, and I highly recommend it. Amy can't watch it because it's too violent. I think it's on Apple Plus, Apple TV, something like that. But it is amazing. It's an old school detective movie, or I'm sorry, show, and the main character played by Colin Farrell is obsessed with black and white movies, specifically detective movies.
Yeah.
So. As they're showing the show that you're watching, it flashes in and out of old black and white, you know, and like, so he's rounding the corner to get a bad guy, and they show like a clip from a movie where there's a detective in black and white coming around the corner going after a bad guy. I mean, it's really creative. The plot and the story and the show is great. And then on top of that, it's told in an incredibly creative fashion. I just can't speak highly enough. And then another show that I'm hooked on, even though I'm not going to tell you it's amazing, is, and it's old, but Killing Eve.
Okay.
With Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer, which I'm hooked on it because I keep watching it to see what happens next, but I'm not saying it's like the greatest show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been kind of boring this week. I've just been doing Discovery and X-Men 97. I've been reading this week a lot of a new series of books called Radiant Black. It's like a whole universe of comics that I've been kind of just diving into.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited this week. I got a new book called Local Man, which I am looking forward to reading that. I may have a report on that next week.
Seems like a lot of reading.
Well, I'm getting back my life now that I can sleep.
Attaboy.
Yeah. So... All right, well, next week we're going to watch Fall Guy, finally. A movie that we've seen a million times in trailers.
Yes.
And now it's time to actually see.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a part of the show, the number one way to do that, of course, is to email us at our new email address, podcast@penncinema.com. But if you want to support the show,
right.
Penn, how do people even do that?
Well, David, I want to be a little serious this week,
okay.
If that's cool with you.
I mean,
you're always talking to me. There's three topics that you, when outside of the show, before the show starts and afterwards, you're consumed with the three topics that I just can't get you to stop talking
about. Consumed.
Right. Number one, Dune.
Yeah.
Number two, flowers or flower shows.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, your bunker.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what else is there? So
if you're not prepped, you're not ready.
I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
So everybody's worried about their bunker, but I mean, I got my bunker stocked with Dune books.
Of course.
And flowers.
You need right. firewood.
Right. Right. No. I figure the Dune books will take me long enough to read. By the time I'm done with them, it'll be safe to come out. That's how I know it'll be safe to come out if I ever finish the Dune books.
Wow.
Or you may never see me again.
Wow.
All right, but I have a fear. I'm nervous because I think about this dystopian universe, and David's off in his bunker with the books and the flowers, and I'm in my bunker with the books and the flowers. I'm concerned that people are not preparing to bring their podcast at Penn Cinema episodes into their bunkers.
What? How could they not?
No, I know. So what a lot of people are doing is they're downloading their podcast, all of our previous 200 and some shows, onto little thumb drives. And then, but that's not enough. What I also want you to do is press them into vinyl records. Because you don't know what the technology is going to be. So, you know, Pensino podcast on vinyl?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not going to be great.
What if I walked in here one day with like episode 258
on vinyl? Tell me that's not going to be great.
Yeah.
So that's what you can do to support the show. Because my fear, as I'm sure you immediately picked up on, is, you know, everything's okay. We get the all clear to come out, and then all of a sudden, nobody else has saved
the Penn Cinema podcast. Is the records players.
The only thing that survives is the records and your vinyl collection of the Penn Cinema podcast. So that's what you can do. Right now, we're good.
Right.
You know, the show is great. You know, life is good. But I'm saying, you know,
we need your support in 2012-3.
A thousand, a million years from now.
Yeah. After the
what episode will we be on when the dinosaurs come back?
When the dinosaurs come back.
Or if you're not a bunker type.
Well, that's
just
ridiculous.
Tell a friend about the show.
Easy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.